Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about the SEC finally making a decision on that $40 million settlement from Tesla and Elon Musk. We've also got updates on Giga Berlin and Giga Texas, a few international updates, news on Tesla's leadership position in the United States, and a couple other items as well. All right, looking at the markets, the volatility is certainly swinging back to the upside today, pretty much everything up. The NASDAQ up 3.6%, Tesla 1 basis point shy of up 4.20%, so we'll round it up. To $858.97 to close. Should be another really interesting day tomorrow, as we have been talking about. The core CPI report, consumer price index report, comes out in the morning about an hour before market open. And it looks like the consensus expectation there, at least according to Trading Economics, is for a year-over-year increase of 6.4% for the CPI. I'd have to imagine that just like with Tesla earnings, the true expectations are probably a little bit higher than that, but I guess we'll find out in the morning. All right, getting into the Tesla news, a little bit quieter of a day today. We're talking a little bit more about the SEC stuff, and yeah, I know we're getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of it, at least. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but we do have an interesting update here because this has to do with that $40 million settlement. Remember, the SEC has been trying to decide how to do this for over 3 years. By how to do this, I of course mean how to distribute that $40 million collected in that settlement. They had previously said that given the complexity of the distribution, it has taken time to develop the plan of allocation. That was kind of their reason given to the court when Tesla and Elon Musk questioned why that distribution had not yet been made. So we're not even talking about the logistics of executing that distribution, we're talking about creating the plan for doing so. So the SEC has now finally come up with a proposed plan, and let's take a look at how complex this is that it took them over 3 years to do. So here's the document. It is 3 pages long, and what it does is defines a relevant period. That is the period of time between Elon's infamous going private funding secured tweet. That was August 7th, 12:48 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the end of the relevant period is market close the following day. My guess is they chose that because by the next day, August 9th, the share price at times did dip below what it was at when Elon had tweeted funding secured. So anyway, they set that relevant period, and then if there was a recognized loss during that period, you're eligible for compensation. So they define that with 3 bullet points. The first one being if you purchase shares at a price higher than what the price was right before Elon had tweeted, and then sold those shares at a loss during the relevant period, that is the recognized loss. The second one being if you bought shares at a higher price and then held them through the end of the relevant period, so the end of the next day. And then the third one being if you closed a short position during that relevant period, even if you had opened that short position at any time prior. So basically what that amounts to is if you bought shares after that tweet and then you either sold them at a loss or held them to the end of the next day or closed your short position, which is buying shares, then you have eligibility. Wow, super complex. It might take me a few years to get my head around that one, but hopefully I can get there someday. The couple of other pages are pretty simple. They talk about options, and options aren't even eligible for this. So no complexity there. And then the rest is really just talking about how to calculate the loss. So really basic and intuitive stuff there. Looking through this, there's absolutely no reason that this should have taken 3 years to figure out. This is not complex. This is extremely simple. There's no problem with that other than the amount of time that it took. The SEC literally could have done nothing, waited until Tesla complained, and then come up with this plan. And now, of course, that they have finally done it, Tesla is trying to argue against that settlement, so I'm sure that those funds would be on hold anyway until that argument is concluded. All right, let's move on. We've got a couple of updates here on Giga Texas and Giga Berlin. Starting off with Giga Texas, Tesla has filed an application to hold the GigaFest event at Giga Texas. So we've got a little bit of information on what that is going to look like. Remember, Elon had previously said this will be on April 7th. Looks like from these documents, it's planned to start at 4 p.m. Central Time, ending at midnight. Tesla plans to allow up to 15,000 people to attend, which I believe is actually a little bit bigger than the Berlin GigaFest. I think I'd heard numbers around 10,000 for that, if I remember correctly. And then just like the Berlin GigaFest, Tesla does plan to hold tours of Giga Texas at this event. This will be invitation only. No, I don't know anything about how that invitation process is going to work. For Berlin, Tesla did make a website that people could apply for tickets for. I would imagine they'll do something similar here. But usually Tesla doesn't give a ton of notice on these things, and like we had talked about previously, there is a public hearing on this on March 22nd to make sure that this event can happen. On over to Giga Berlin then, as we had previously talked about before, there had been reports that Tesla was looking to hold a delivery event at Giga Berlin on either March 22nd or 23rd. Looks like that has now officially been set for March 22nd, Tesla sending out invites for what they are calling Giga Berlin Delivery Day. So in other words, deliveries finally happening in 2 weeks. Well, one day short of that, but just like the beginning, we'll round up here as well. Another kind of fun note out of Germany, there's a politician here, Robert Habeck of the Green Party, who has started using a new term to describe things that need to happen fast, and that is Tesla Geschwindigkeit, or Tesla speed. Definitely wouldn't mind if that stuck around. To me, it kind of sounds like something Herbert Diess would use. and it's nice to see Tesla being used as an example to hopefully speed up some of these projects in the future. All right, next we've got an update in the US. Automotive News reporting on data from Experian. This is for sales in January in the United States, and Experian is saying that Tesla has surpassed BMW and all other luxury vehicle makers in vehicle registrations for the month. Now, it's just 1 month, just one country. I usually don't like reporting on that, but because it's the United States and Tesla is mostly exporting from Giga Shanghai, the delivery waves are less consequential for US registrations. So in this case, that data is a little bit more valid, and it's a really, really exciting milestone for Tesla to hit. Been a long time coming, certainly, and I would not expect Tesla to relinquish that top spot throughout the rest of this year. All right, next up, we've got a report from Reuters on Autopilot. You may remember we had previously talked about a couple of senators, Ed Markey and Richard Blumenthal, who both have on many occasions written to express their concerns about Autopilot and attempted to get responses from Elon Musk. Well, on March 4th, Tesla did end up replying to them. Pretty basic stuff here, at least according to Reuters. Tesla noting that they believe Autopilot enhances driver safety, as well as pointing out that the system does require constant monitoring by the driver. But of course, the senators were completely undeterred by that response. They said in a statement to Reuters that the letter was, quote, just more evasion and deflection from Tesla. Despite its troubling safety track record and deadly crashes, the company seemingly wants to carry on with business as usual, end quote. Okay, I don't know necessarily what they mean by troubling safety track record. Tesla's got the safest vehicles on the road, their crash rate is quite low, and every single automaker that's produced more than a handful of cars has vehicles that are involved in deadly crashes. So obviously they're not going to care at all what Tesla says on this issue. They've got their mind made up, and I don't want to bring this into the PR conversation, but this is kind of the problem with PR, right? Like, Tesla can provide whatever information they want, but ultimately people are going to try to make the points that they want to make regardless of what Tesla says. Tesla commenting on this just gave another opportunity for a clickbait article to be written about this topic, and based on their comments, the opposition clearly just dug in even more. Next up, we've got some information on Tesla's response in regard to Ukraine. CNBC obtained an email to employees noting that any Tesla employee who is a Ukrainian national has been asked to return to Ukraine for active duty. Tesla will maintain their employment and salary for 3 months, and not necessarily only 3 months, they say that with a view to assessing after this period as needed. So that's great to see. Personally, I hope that Tesla would extend that even further if needed, which they leave the door open to do. And then this email also gives a lot of details about how Tesla employees had been supportive in terms of the Starlink support provided by SpaceX that we have talked about a few times. Talks about how employees help test, configure, pack, and ship several hundred Starlink units, which they say in true Tesla fashion, that solution was put together in less than 3 days. And they also talk about the energy team providing support for those units with power walls. So not just SpaceX getting involved, but Tesla as well, and really cool to see some of the insight on that. And by the way, Ukraine's vice prime minister tweeted today that they had received the second shipment of Starlink stations, and again, thanked Elon Musk. All right, next we've got an update on Porsche. An internal memo has shown that they plan to halt production of potentially all vehicle models due to shortages on wire harnesses that are produced in Ukraine. The production halt will be staggered, starting with the Macan and Panamera on March 2nd and the Porsche Taycan on March 3rd. By the end of March, then, all production would be stopped, and I guess they would just be waiting and seeing how things evolve until deciding when production would start again. Next, then, we've got a quick update on a story we've talked about a couple of times before, and that is the capability of each state to individually set their emissions standards. This had previously been restricted. The EPA was looking at reinstating it. We had talked about how that reinstatement was expected. Now, finally, today, we have word that that has been reinstated. So how this works is California kind of sets their higher emission standards, and then a lot of other states go in with California on that standard. That had been rescinded in favor of a federal standard, but now that is allowed again. Last couple of quick items then, just something to keep an eye out for tomorrow. As we had talked about previously, Rivian is scheduled to report their earnings. We'll keep an eye out for any news from that. And then lastly, Amazon today announced that they do intend to do a 20-for-1 stock split, as well as a stock buyback up to $10 billion worth, with that stock split taking effect after June 3rd. So kind of a strange time to announce that split, but following the same split logic as Google, and I do think that both of these increase the chances of Tesla doing a split this year. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, March 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.